Take your Bibles this morning, open to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's always a beautiful song that the Berries have just sung, As the Deer, and in fact, even in our co-op that we do throughout the year, that's one of the most favorite songs that the kids like to sing, and just the message of it is so great, and I appreciate them singing that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verses 13 down to the end of the chapter, down to verse number 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And I'd love to have you read along with me. If you have a Bible open there, you can read along, or the words will be on the screen if you don't have a Bible. I'd love to have everyone read along with me together corporately out loud as we read verses 13 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin reading. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, just to be able to have a copy of it, to be able to read it and have it in our hands. And God, I pray that you just help us not to ever take that for granted. Lord, I pray that as we read it, that we would heed it and listen to it. Lord, to follow it and be obedient to it. And Lord, I pray even now as we look to your word that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Lord, just thank you for the good singing this morning. Lord, just lifting up the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray even now through your word that you would be magnified and lifted up. We would look to you, and Lord, you would draw us closer to you. And Lord, just help us to live more for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do pray if there might be someone that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would understand that salvation can only come through Jesus Christ alone, and that they'd be willing to put their faith and trust in you. And so, Father, just bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any of you parents ever told your kids to go look for something specific, and they go, and they come back with these infamous words, I can't find it. Has that ever happened to anybody? Why are you pointing your finger at me, Dad? I shouldn't have looked over there. So then what do? You say, go back, look again, it's there, I know it's there, go back again. And they go, and they look, and they yell back, I can't find it, right? And then you go with them. You're like, I know it's there. And you go with them and show them where it's at. Magically just appeared. And then they say, I didn't see it. That ever happened to anybody? Anybody, parents? Yeah? Okay. All right. I know I'm going to get myself into hot water for this one. Any wives? Like my wife, when I ask her if we have a certain food, and she says, it's in the fridge. And of course, I go and look, open up the fridge, and I close the fridge, and I tell my wife, are you sure? It's in the fridge. I can't find it. Now I know why I say that. Yeah. And she says from the other room, it's on the door, second shelf, behind the mustard. Oh. It's there, right? It just magically appeared, you know, because it wasn't there 2 seconds ago because I looked, right? And, I'm sure, guys, that doesn't happen to you. But, you know, Why is it that when we look for something and we say, I can't find it? I mean, what really is the reason why we can't find it? It's because we're really not looking, are we? Right? It's just kind of a glance, right? You know, just a glance. You look very quickly and you can't really find it. I want you to notice what Paul says here in verse number 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, that's interesting. Paul says, I don't want you to look for the things that are seen. I want you to look for the things that are not seen. Now, believe me, I've done that a lot, right? There's a lot of things I have not seen until my wife said, it's right there. Here it is. Paul says we are to look for things that are not seen. Not to be looking for the things that are seen, but to be looking for the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen, he says, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so this morning, I want to preach a message called Looking for the Unseen. Looking for the unseen. And again, we've all experienced that, whether it's ourselves looking for something that we couldn't find because we just didn't look hard enough, or seeing children say, I can't find it, or, you know, we've all experienced that. And the reason is because we just really aren't looking well. But when you're looking for something that is not seen, that's a little bit harder, right? And this is what he says. He says, we are to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And of course, he explains it here, right? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so Paul is saying, as a Christian, of course, writing to the church of Corinth, he says, as a Christian, we are to be looking for the unseen. We're not to be looking for that which can be seen. We're not to be looking at this world. We're not to be looking at the things which can be seen. We're to be looking for the unseen, the things that are eternal, right? He said, that's what we ought to be desiring for. That's what we ought to be looking to, that which is unseen. Of course, we understand he's talking about looking towards heaven, looking to God, looking to Jesus Christ, and that future that we have before us. But what are we to do while we look for the unseen? And this is what he tells us here in these verses as we're going to look this morning. Notice in verse number 13. In verse number 13, he says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with him. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So here's the first thing he says that we ought to do while we are looking for the unseen. Are you ready? Here's what he says. Number one, confidently speak about it. Confidently speak about it. Now, again, how can you confidently speak about something you haven't seen? I mean, that's what he says, right? He says in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believed and therefore speak. He's talking here, right? He says, how are we able to speak about that we have not seen and we can't see right now? Again, Paul says, notice here in verse 13, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Do you know why Paul says we can confidently speak about the unseen? We can confidently speak about heaven. We can confidently speak about eternity, even though we haven't seen it. We haven't seen heaven. None of us have seen God with our eyes. We haven't seen eternity. But yet he says we can speak about it, and we can speak about it confidently. We can tell people about heaven. We can tell people about God. And yes, people can say, well, how can you speak about heaven? Have you ever seen it? Nope, never seen it. Have you ever seen God? Nope, haven't seen God. Have you ever seen Jesus? No, not physically. I have not seen Jesus. No, haven't seen. Well, then how can you be so certain that there is a place called heaven? How can you be so certain that there is truly a God that created everything? How can you be so certain that there is a man that lived 2,000 years ago by the name of Jesus Christ? Because here's what he says. According as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, and we also believe and therefore speak. He says, we can speak confidently because it is written. It is written. We have it in black and white. Not by some man who thought up a good idea, but by God who knows all things. God has told us in his word that there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. God has told us who he is. God has shown us through his word that of the Godhead that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God has shown us through his word that Jesus Christ, God the Son, became flesh and came down to this earth and took on flesh and blood and lived here on this earth for 33 and a half years, and he bled and he died on a rugged cross and he was buried and he rose again. You say, have you seen that? No, I have not seen it, but I believe it because it is written. It's written in the Word of God. God has told us these things. In fact, what Paul is saying here when he says in verse 13, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, he's actually making a quote back to the Old Testament. He's quoting Psalms 116 verse 10, where the psalmist says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's been written in the Word of God. And Paul says we can trust the Word of God. His confidence. You understand, Paul's confidence was not in men. His confidence was in God's Word. He's using the Word of God as his confidence. Say, how do we know there's a heaven? How do we know there's a hell? You know, that's something that a lot of people don't like to think about. They like to think that there's a heaven. They like to think that there's a paradise. There's some place that we go that is a nice place. But people don't like to talk about hell. They don't like to talk about the lake of fire. They don't like to talk about judgment after death. But friend, can I tell you, you cannot talk about heaven without talking about hell. You cannot talk about eternity without talking about the lake of fire. Because just as heaven is real, so is hell. Just as eternity is real and we will spend some place for eternity, so is the lake of fire. Those things, they're real. You say, well, how do we know those things? Because God has told us in his word. You say, well, how do we even know where everybody came from? How do we know where we all came from? Evolution and science, they try to tell us that we all came from this primordial soup millions and millions of years ago from this Big Bang explosion, whatever. How do we know that's not true? Because the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, how do you know you can believe the Bible? Because it's God's word. Isn't it interesting that this book has been around for thousands of years and yet they can't disprove it? They've tried year after year after year after year to disprove the Word of God, and it cannot be disproven. In fact, it seems like every year that they continue with their archaeological digs and science, it just proves the Bible is true. Why? Because it's from God. It's God's Word. You say, you really believe that God created everything in six literal days? Yes. You really believe that there was a flood and a global flood and that only eight people were saved on that ark? Yes. You say, why would you believe that? Because God said it. God said it. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, even though we haven't seen heaven, even though we've never seen God physically, we haven't seen those things, we haven't seen eternity, he says, we can speak about them confidently because God has written about them in his word. As it is written, he said, I have spoken, I have believed, and therefore, as I saw it in the word of God, now I am speaking confidently about it myself. God has told us in his word of these things, and we can confidently speak of them. May I say, never be ashamed to tell somebody about God. Never be ashamed to tell somebody about Jesus. Never be ashamed to tell somebody, to talk to someone about heaven and hell. You say, well, I don't know if I could confidently speak about something that I've never seen. Well, let me show you where you can get the confidence from. It's right here. You can get the confidence to speak of heaven in the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I think we can be pretty confident about that. We can be confident about that. Why? Because Jesus said it. God's word said it. We can know that, hey, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can know that the very moment that we take this last breath in this life, that we're, if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, that we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? How can we know that? Because God said it. God's word tells us this. We also know that if a person does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they take their last final breath, there is still eternity, but it is not in heaven. It's in hell. And one day in the lake of fire. And that's why, friend, may I say, that's why God tells us that we are to speak confidently about the unseen. We are looking for it. We're anticipating. We're saying, man, I can't wait for Jesus Christ to come back. I can't wait to be in heaven one day. But while we're looking for it, we ought to speak confidently about it. Be willing to tell others about Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, and how we can know him as our Savior. Friend, can I tell you something? And understand this, please, that salvation does not come through this church. It's not about being a member of any church. It's not by performing some type of religious ritual. It's not by getting baptized or taking the Lord's Supper. It's not by being good. It's not by keeping the Ten Commandments. The Bible, again, God's word clearly tells us that there is only one way for a person to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's why he said previously, back up in verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's who the Word of God speaks about. The Word of God, everything that we find in this book points to one person, and it's Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Can I tell you, friend, he loves us so much that he was willing to come to this earth and to bleed and to die on a cross for your sin and my sin. Not his sin. He had no sin. He was willing to do it for our sin. And he offers a free gift to everyone who will receive. It's not for a specific person. It's not for a specific language group. It's not for a specific nationality. No, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's for every single person. May I say, along with this, his confidence came from knowing something very important. Look in verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. You see, his confidence came in knowing that Jesus had risen from the grave and defeated death. Death has been defeated. We don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus defeated death. And this is why Paul was not afraid to die, because he knew where he would be. This is why he says, I'm kind of at a strait here. I'm kind of in the middle of something here. He says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? He says, man, I know that if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. But he says, I also know that there's some more things that I could do while I'm here on the earth. And so while I'm still glad that I'm helping other people come to know Jesus, boy, I sure would really like to be in heaven with Jesus. He said, there's a strait here. I'm in a pickle here. Man, I can't wait to be with Jesus, but I know I've still got something to do here. You know why most Christians aren't in a pickle? You know why most Christians aren't in a strait between heaven and here? Because we're not looking for the unseen. We're too focused on the things which are seen. We're too focused on the temporal things. We're too focused on what we see here instead of looking for the unseen. Instead of really recognizing and realizing, hey, one day we're going to be at, man, eternity? With Jesus Christ? Eternity in heaven, eternity with him. Can I tell you, friend, there is nothing better than that. Amen. Nothing better than that. And yet we get so focused on that which is temporal. We get so focused on that which can be seen. And Paul says, hey, wait a second. Don't look on that which can be seen. Look at the unseen. Why? Hey, Jesus rose from the grave. He defeated death. We don't have to fear death. What do we have to fear? Because when we take this last breath, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we have to fear? If we know Jesus as our Savior, we have nothing to fear. And so we can live our life the way that God wants us to live. If Jesus has conquered death, which is the last enemy, why do we need fear anything else? Well, I don't want to serve God because I'm afraid that it might lead to something. Maybe I'll die. Let me fill you in on a little secret. You're going to die sometime. You're going to die sometime, right? I don't know that anybody in here is over 150. Anybody? 150? No, I didn't think so. You know why? Because we all die. Why are we so afraid to die for Jesus? Why are we so afraid to die doing what he wants us to do? Can I tell you something? Again, think about this. Are we looking at the temporal and so focused on the temporal that we're not looking at the unseen? We're not looking what he wants us to look at. We're looking at all the things that are just temporal. The things that, by the way, you can't take your car with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take your bank account. You can't take your boat. You can't take your guns. You can't take your shoes. You can't take your purses. You can't take it with you. And yet, those are the things that we're so consumed with. He says, hey, stop looking at the temporal. Stop looking at what you can see and look for the unseen. Speak about it confidently. Number two, notice, we need a renewed daily focus. In verse number 16, he says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Of course, this is our theme verse for the year, renewed, right? And this is the verse that we're using this year for which cause we faint not, yet though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We need a renewed daily focus. Because as we go through life, guess what we will find? There are trials. There are difficulties that happen in life. There's no doubt about it, right? Look, can I tell you, even if you're a Christian, right? If you're a Christian, there's going to be trials and difficulties. By the way, if you're not a Christian, there's going to be trials and difficulties. You're going to face them one way or the other, right? You're going to face trials. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to face opposition one way or the other. You don't escape trials and difficulties. They're going to come. It's part of life. It's part of life, right? But as a Christian, right, we have to understand that the devil and the world want the trials of this life to keep us from speaking about the unseen, to keep us from speaking about the future, about heaven and hell. The devil and the world want the trials and difficulties to keep us from talking about Jesus Christ. Hey, there's a reason why that people get so upset talking about Jesus, when you talk about Jesus. You know why? Because the world doesn't like him. The world doesn't like Jesus. Now, they can appear to be religious, that's fine, but we're talking about people that truly know Jesus as their Savior. A person that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they're not concerned about what Jesus says. They're not concerned about what God says. They don't care about those things. And so when you start talking about them, they begin to get offensive. Hey, you can't talk about Jesus. Right? I don't know where this whole idea came with Christians and church and things like this. There's two things you can't talk about. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about religion. Okay, I won't. I'll talk about Jesus. No, you can't talk about religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is not religion, by the way. He's not religion. The world has tried to make him religion, but he is not religion. By the way, there was religion before Jesus came. Lots of religions. Jesus didn't try to come make some new religion. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to give you a new life, not a new religion. It's a new life that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, freedom to follow him and to be obedient to what he has for us to do. It's a new life we have in Christ. And so the world tries to say, hey, you can't talk about it. The problems and the trials and the difficulties. Yeah, we just think, well, maybe it'd be better if I don't say anything. Wait a minute, this is why Paul tells us that we must be renewed day by day. We can't allow the trials and the difficulties we go through in life to get us to quit. He says, for which cause we faint not. He said, do you understand? Because of the confidence that we have. Because of the confidence that we know in the resurrection, because the confidence that we know in salvation and knowing Jesus Christ. He says, because of the confidence that we have in the unseen things that are going to come. He says, we faint not. He says, we can't quit. We can't just stop. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep being faithful. I'm so thankful for Dr. Sisk here with us today. Dr. Sisk is in his 90s and yet still faithfully serving God. Tonight, he'll be preaching for us. And Dr. Sisk has been faithful for many, 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 many years. But can I tell you, Dr. Sisk is not the only one. There's a lot of faithful men and women who've been just faithful to God. But can I tell you, there needs to be a lot more. There's a lot of Christians who have just kind of thrown in the towel and said, hey, I'm done. There's too many trials in life. I'm done. There's too many difficulties in life. Man, it just doesn't seem like the world's for us. They're not. And we just throw in the towel. We just quit. We give up. He said, no. Don't quit. He said, we faint not. He says, yes, the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We have to press on. We keep going. We keep running our race. Think about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I've just got to keep going. I've got to keep going. Hey, have there been some difficult things that have happened in my life? Sure. In fact, later on, when we get into 2 Corinthians, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 11 there, Paul's going to list a lot of the difficult things that have happened in his life. Most of us know them, right? I mean, we know he was beaten with a cat of nine tails five times. Five times. Not one time. Jesus was beaten with a cat of nine tails one time. Paul was beaten with a cat of nine tails five times. He's beaten with rods three times. I think he knows a little bit about trials. How many days and months and years did he spend in prison simply for preaching the gospel? I think he knows a little bit about difficulties. And yet, what does he say? Hey, we've got to keep speaking about Jesus. We've got to keep speaking confidently. Hey, don't be afraid to talk about Jesus. Hey, yeah, sometimes it's hard, but that's why we need to be renewed day by day. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says, you run that race and you keep your eyes on Jesus. You say, I can't see Jesus. Well, you're looking for the unseen. You're looking ahead. You're saying, hey, I can't see him right now, but I know he's coming back. And I can't see him right now, but I know if I take this last breath, I'm going to be with him. Why? Because the word of God says so. There's a confidence that's there. We say, hey, I'm just going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep running the race that he's called me to run until I see Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, all that Jesus did, he did for you and me. He did for you and me so that we could have salvation, so that we could have a home in heaven, so that we wouldn't ever have to experience that penalty of sin and separation from God eternally in the lake of fire. He said, no, I came and gave myself for you, so that you don't have to experience it. But here's the thing, friend. He's not going to force you to receive it. It's got to be your choice. You have to make a choice whether you're going to believe what Jesus says, what God says, or whether you're going to believe what some religion or what some man says. You say, well, my church or my religion, they say if I just keep doing good and keep following the law and keep doing all these rituals, that I'm going to make it. Friend, can I tell you very kindly, your religion is wrong. It's wrong. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If your religion or some religious person or some relative or a friend or anyone tells you that there is some way that you can get to heaven other than Jesus Christ alone, they are going contrary to the word of God. They're going absolutely against God's word. If there is something that you and I could do, friend, why would we need Jesus? There's no reason for Jesus if there's something that you and I can do. Hey, if it's about baptism, let's line them up and let's just push them through the water, right? Hey, let's get them all saved. Wouldn't that be the easiest thing to do? If it's about membership, let's bring them all in. Let's make them all members of First Baptist Church. You see, those things can't save you. It's only Jesus Christ and what he did. That's why the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other person, no other way other than Jesus Christ alone. My friend, can I tell you? God wants to give you the greatest gift you can ever receive. It's called eternal life. Eternal life with him, if you're willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus. There's no other way. But Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, we've got to understand, hey, yes, there are going to be trials and there's going to be difficulties. And what happens is too many Christians are just giving up. They're wanting an easier life. Yes, the outward man is perishing. The outward man's perishing. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager. Doesn't matter if you're a young adult in your 20s or your 30s. Doesn't matter if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It doesn't matter if you're in your hundreds. The outward man is perishing. No matter what age you are, the outward man is perishing. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. Nothing you can do to stop it. The outward man is perishing. But the inward man can be renewed day by day. The inward man, the spirit, our soul can be renewed day by day. How? As we get in the Word of God and we see what God says, we says, all right, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be obedient to you. And yes, I know, man, I had some difficulties yesterday. And yeah, that guy cussed me out and things didn't go well yesterday. But you know what, Lord? I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to be obedient to you today. I'm going to be renewed day by day. We have to make a conscious choice every day if we're going to follow Jesus or not. We have to make a conscious decision in our life. Am I going to be obedient to God today? Forget about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. By the way, don't worry about tomorrow because it's not here yet. How about today? Well, next week I'll make that decision. No, no, no. Today. You don't have next week yet. You have today and today only. You say, are you trying to scare me into thinking I'm going to die tomorrow? No, I'm just being realistic, friend. We have no idea when we're going to die. No clue. Yes, we would all love to say we know we're going to be here tomorrow. But not one of us can say that. We hope we'll be here tomorrow. We think we'll be here tomorrow, but not one of us can be absolutely, positively, 100% certain that we're going to be here tomorrow. Not one of us. So why wait? Why wait to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why wait as a Christian to say, well, I'll serve him tomorrow? No, no, no. You don't have tomorrow. You have today. Why not today you say, Lord, every day I'm going to make a conscious decision. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be obedient to you. He's talking about being renewed day by day, that renewed daily focus. And watch this, verse number 17 and 18. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we will look not on things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, here's the third thing we need to do. We need to confidently speak about the unseen. We need to be renewed daily, have a renewed daily focus, but we also need to understand the present and the future. Understand the present and the future. Here's what we have to understand, and sometimes this can be hard to see in this light. But watch what he says. Think with me about this. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our light affliction. Now again, this is the Apostle Paul saying our light affliction. And he says that he has been beaten multiple times. He's been put in jail. He's been put in stocks. He's been imprisoned. He's been stoned. I mean, all these different things. Paul says he's gone through all of it. And he says our light affliction. Anybody in here been beaten with a cat of nine tails? Anybody in here been beaten with rods? I'm not talking about by your parents. Okay. No, I don't think so. Anybody in here been stoned almost to death? No, I don't think so. So if he says the things that he has gone through is a light affliction, how do we compare what we go through to that? I don't know if there's ultralight or I don't know if there's megalight or whatever, but it's even lighter than what Paul has gone through. We've never experienced those things. And thank God for that. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm very thankful I've not been beaten with a cat of nine tails. Very thankful I've not been stoned and beaten with rods. I'm very thankful for that. But he says, our light affliction. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. You're right, I don't. But I know you do have to understand the present and the future. You've got to understand the difference between the two. And this is what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's for a moment. Not a moment in just a split second, but he's comparing the life here on this earth to eternity. How long is eternity? There's no end to it, right? If we live 100 years on this earth, what is that compared to eternity? I mean, in this life, we think, man, 100 years, if somebody makes it to 100 years, man, they've really lived. I mean, they have really lived. They've seen everything. That's an amazing person. 100 years. God says 100 years to eternity? It's nothing. It's but a moment. Just a moment, he says. You see, he says we've got to understand present versus the future. We are so focused on here and now. We're so focused on the temporal. We cannot see the unseen. We're not looking for the unseen. We're so focused on here and now and all that we have to enjoy and life and everything that makes life easy here. He says, hey, this is what we have here is just a moment in time. It's just a brief moment compared to eternity. If we don't have the right perspective, even on the trials and difficulties and suffering, can I say we'll be miserable in this life? Absolutely miserable. Again, notice the comparison. A light affliction compared to a weight of glory. It's momentary compared to eternal. It's working against us or it's working for us. He says, you've got to determine, which one are you looking at? Which one are you looking at? Are you looking at, man, this is affliction. This is just horrible. It's working against us here. Or are you looking and saying, wait a minute, this is just a moment in time. Just a brief moment in time compared to eternity. And so instead of being focused on looking at what is here, I'm going to focus on the unseen. Paul was weighing the present trials against future glory. In fact, Paul even tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says, let me tell you something. The sufferings that we go through, the difficulties, the trials, the things that we go through in this life, he said, it is absolutely nothing. It's nothing compared to what we're going to receive in glory. Nothing. And yet, which one are we focused on? We're more focused on the temporal. We're more focused on the one that really is nothing compared to eternity instead of looking for the unseen, instead of desiring to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, though the trials of this world may seem real because we can see them, we can touch them, we can experience them physically, we must remember they're all temporal. They're all temporal. They'll all pass away. And he says only eternal things will remain. Only eternal things matter. We look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Friend, let me ask you a question this morning. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you looking at that which can be seen? The temporal things that are all going to vanish away, that are just momentary in life? Or are you looking for the unseen, the eternal, the things that will never pass away? Looking to Jesus, living for Jesus, doing what he wants us to do now, because we have eternity to spend with him. I wonder if their heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, can I just ask you a simple question this morning? Just a very simple question. Do you know for sure, if you were to die today, if today was your last day on this earth, are you absolutely certain that you would be in the presence of Jesus Christ? Are you absolutely certain? Friend, I'm not asking you to think about tomorrow. I'm not asking you to think about next week or next month. I'm asking you to think about today, right now. If today was your final day on this earth, and you were to take your last breath today, are you absolutely certain that you would be with Jesus? Friend, if you're sitting there this morning or you're watching via live stream and you say, I'm just not sure. If there's any doubt in your heart and life this morning, friend, we would love to take God's word and show you how you can be absolutely certain. Because it's not about this church, friend. It's not about me. It's not about us here. It's about God's word that you can trust. So maybe there's someone here this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I am not 100% certain that if I died today, I'm not sure where I would be. Friend, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody else is looking about. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm uncertain. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. Anyone this morning, Pastor, that's me. I'm uncertain where I would go. Friend, if that's you, again, we'd love to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'll invite you to come. We'll take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. Or if you'd like, even afterwards in the lobby, you can meet me in the lobby. You say, Pastor, I'd like to make an appointment with you. I'd like to talk with you more about this. I'd love to sit down and talk with you, friend. It's the most important decision you can make in your life. But Christian, can I ask you a question this morning as well? If you hear this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know if I died right now, I know I'd be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. But what are you looking at? Are we looking at the things which are seen? All the temporal things, is that what we're living for? We're just so consumed with those things, and we're not looking at things which are unseen. We're not looking to Jesus. We're not living for Jesus. We're not trying to share Jesus with anyone. We're not confidently speaking about him. We're getting discouraged, and we're thinking, hey, I just want to quit and give up. And wait, friend, you're looking at the temporal. You're looking at things that are seen. Jesus says, I want you to look at things that are unseen. Understand the present and the future. The present has nothing that can truly bring satisfaction other than Jesus Christ. I can tell you, eternity with Jesus is the greatest thing that we can ever have. To live for Jesus now, to be able to worship him for eternity. Friend, I can tell you, we need to, as Christians, be looking at the unseen. Father, I pray you to work in our hearts this morning through the invitation. Lord, we be obedient and yielded to you and what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name we pray.